Welcome back to Hour 2 on a Monday. Steve Sipple, Jake Sorensen, Bill Bush on Early Break. Hour 2, as always, sponsored by our friends at Midwest Bank. Member FDIC. Location in South Lincoln at 27th and Jamie Lane, also at 70th and Pioneers. And anything today, happy with Shin Daddy in Creighton, Bill.
Shin Daddy's off today.
He's off today.
Shin Daddy is smart. Off today.
Why is that?
He had a big weekend up there. He took out the dock at the cabin. And so he did.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, and put a new hitch on the trailer. So he took today, taking today off.
Smart.
But he had to float down the Missouri River on a dock. Yes, he did that.
I'd like to see that.
On Saturday. Had to float down on us. And then you have to go down to the boat ramp down below. So you have to float it down. And then you have to float
some
it
danger
up.
In
some
that.
Danger. Oh, very dangerous. He's lucky to be alive. And we're able
I'd
to
like
get
to have seen that.
Yes. Yes. Usually we put it in, me and Duke put it in, and we have to float it down, and I float down. Duke has video of me in the Missouri River floating down on the dock with a paddle. And you gotta get it to the bank, and we have a little place you have to hook it up then. So it's a lot of work.
Oh God.
Yeah. So with that type of
activity.
Life endangerment. Yeah. What he was in part of like that. So he's taking the day off because of
and
that.
And Shin Daddy's no spring chicken either.
Not spring chicken, but you would think he was.
He acts like it, though.
He does. Imagine that. Did it by himself. Got the dock out by himself. And it's pretty remarkable.
Not surprised.
Back the trailer in about a mile down, unhooked the dock, floated down on the dock
God.
Like that with a paddle.
Down no in
life,
Missouri.
No life jacket. No nothing. That's fine.
Thanks to Shin Daddy for all the work he does. We appreciate that.
And there he is.
He's right there. So he's taking the day off.
Yeah. Thank you, Shin Daddy.
Well, Shin Daddy will be back to work tomorrow.
Yes, he will.
464-5685, call or text as always. I got a text and I confirmed it with some research here from a breaker.
Okay. Numbers.
Nebraska will not play a game again until November 2nd. That's this Saturday. That means they went the entire month of October, three games. Zero passing touchdowns in the month of October.
Okay.
Against Rutgers, they had 14 points, two rushing touchdowns, 7 points against Indiana, a rushing touchdown, and against Ohio State, it was a rushing touchdown. Okay. So they had no passing touchdowns in the month of October.
Did get a two-point conversion.
Raiola on the season, 9 touchdowns, 7 picks as it stands.
Okay.
With 4 games to go in the regular season.
Well, you knew it would be difficult. We got kind of maybe a false read early that this schedule would be not schedule but season maybe would be Dylan, you know, kind of taking over the Big Ten. But you know, that hasn't been the case. It gets tougher. Defensive coordinators adjust. They see what to do against him, and I think there's some adjustment. Then the competition got tougher.
What hurts the stat, though, is that if you go back to Saturday's game, he had 2 touchdown passes he could have had, overthrew the guy.
He missed Banks downfield, I think, in the first half, right? Was it the first half? And then later, Barney broke free in the back of the end zone. And I'm just surprised Dylan missed it. I think
he
airmailed it. He was under a little pressure, but that's usually a throw he makes. Even on the Banks, he makes that throw. And the game's different if he hits him. Now, on the other hand, you see NFL guys miss throws like that. You saw me and Bill watched Jameis Winston airmail a guy that was wide open. So it happens. Yeah. I mean, where I come down on Dylan, man, it's quite a discussion out there. I hear from fans who say, Sip, you got to be more critical of Dylan. Like, yeah, I know he's making money, but he's also a freshman in a tough league. So,
absolutely.
So I'm more that way with Dylan.
Probably the stat that comes off that again puts you in a bad position. It still go down to yards per play, and it was 4.1.
And what was Ohio State?
6.1.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah, so it's a discrepancy of. But 4.1, like I said, those are tough numbers when you're at 273 yards on 66 plays.
No, those are tough numbers. Now, they found a little bit, Bill, in the run game, Nebraska.
They did.
In the third quarter, they got it going. Got it going for Nebraska standards. They had a 19-yard run, a 12-yard run. When Nebraska gets a 19-yard run, it's news. it's news now. I mean, and they Jake, what do you see?
Nebraska ran the ball 33 times for 121 yards, an average of just shy of 4 yards per carry.
That's not bad for Nebraska.
Raiola's had a couple scrambles also.
Well, that's the other
part
of
scramble.
That was something that was different. I don't want to call a scramble a wrinkle, but he was different. He had a 38-yard scramble that was gigantic in the first half. He showed more willingness to turn it upfield, and he can do it. He's not unathletic. He's not fast, but he's not terribly slow. So, yeah, that was different. That was different.
That's a huge play. It's a huge play.
The 38-yard scramble was a huge play.
Yeah, that comes. And then the hidden yardage you look for a little bit. So net punt, Nebraska was 36 yards, 36-2, and they were 46-4.
That's hidden.
And so those are the yards you look for. What are the hidden yardage of what of what comes up? And the punt, usually net punt is something that comes out. They both were decent on the ball being inside the 20. I think they both had one that was pinned inside the 20. But anyway, those are always when you look for hidden yards, those are the yards you're looking for. Punt return wasn't much. They had one for 8. Nebraska had one for 3.
Now, here we are. Here we are. 4 games to go.
Right. And now, last year, the exact same record entering November. Nebraska was 5-3 last season. Nebraska is 5-3 this season. And last season, also, you entered November with the winnable game at home. You had Maryland at home in Lincoln, blew that game, should have won it, blew at the end. And now you have a game against UCLA where Nebraska enters as right now a 7-point favorite against UCLA.
Yeah, it's like
this morning. Go ahead.
I was going to say, Bill, I look at this. Now, this team, I'm not talking about the team, but as a fan, I would look at this as a reset. Here we go. This is a reset. 4 games to go. It's a 4-game season now. And they got to get a couple. I don't know.
The numbers for this game are remarkable. I'm not saying remarkable, but there's a distinctive advantage for Nebraska. I mean, UCLA, I mean, they're just a number of 2-5. Mm-hmm. You know, just where they are, just at, with that part. They're 2-5, coming 2 time zones. Mm-hmm. All those things that are going on like that. Their numbers are not very good.
No.
But I would say this, though. They're not Purdue. UCLA is not. They're not playing Purdue.
What do you mean?
They're better than Purdue.
Are they?
I think they're better than Purdue. Now, I'm not remarkably, but better. And I think... Also, too, let's be great. I'm going to pose a question.
Oh, right.
To the Breakers and then to you two also. Is that, the only way that this game, which there's a lot of goodwill right now because Nebraska played very well, the only way it counts is a goodwill game is the wins to follow.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't do you any good to be like, back and
100.
It doesn't do you any good to go back and say, well, remember we did that one pretty good.
No. You got to follow it up.
And see, I would say
you gotta follow it up
because I think that I think for the so what's your number on the last 4 games for it to be a successful season?
I'm saying 2.
2 for successful, that'd be 7-5.
I will say this. I think you've known this. I've predicted all along 7-5. It'd be good for me because I've said 7-5. 7-5. That's what predicted in August. I said if they beat Indiana, you might be able to nudge me to 8. I don't know how people would look at 7-5 if they would look at it as a successful season. I don't.
With the 5-1 start.
It depends who you're asking, probably.
Yeah. I think there'd be some that'd be just happy to be like, okay, we got our 6, we got to 7, we got to a solid bowl game. I don't, I said, I would see it more of like, you win all 4, incredible. 9-3 incredible. Incredible. 8 is still very good season.
Very.
I think 7 is just okay. I think it's probably okay to a little less. There's no way you looked at that when the season started and said we're a 7-5 team.
Well, I predicted 7-5. I did.
I thought better. I thought 9-3, which was probably a little bold, but also in the last 4 games that they play, they can easily win them all. They're not a team.
I don't know about easily, but
I mean USC's 4-4. I mean they're a 4-4 team, and USC's going to. They have to go and play in Washington.
I would say they could win them all.
Yeah, that's what I said. I said they could win them all.
Yeah,
they could win them all. I don't know
if it'd be easy to do it.
No,
it'd be
it's
easy
not
for Ohio State to do it.
I mean, it would not be. Would not be easy. But I would say they're definitely. There's not an Oregon sitting there. There's not. You don't have to go to Penn State.
No. There's nothing like that.
Like Washington, they have 4 flights this year. They're over 3.5 hours. 4 flights for their trip. They have to go back to, after this week, they go back to Penn State. They've already flown to Rutgers. Washington, they just flew to Indiana.
They got to go to Penn State.
They go to Penn State. And so schedule-wise, Nebraska doesn't have a Oregon or a Penn State sitting out there right now.
Nope.
You can say, well, it's USC's out there.
No.
They're 4-4.
No, yeah.
They're 4-4 and uninterested.
And hurt. I mean, they're banged up. I think their entire secondary was out the other day.
But so again, this is not, this game is not a must win in terms of what the season. You know, you can still get to bowl eligible by winning against USC or Wisconsin or Iowa. But in terms of opening the gates to that and getting this monkey off your back,
it'd be a pressure release.
This is a massive game for Nebraska to just get over the hump, get to six wins, and see what happens the next three, because you know you clinched it. Mm-hmm. And you weren't going through this 0-4 November again. Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good way for fans to look at it. I don't know if I was a player, I'd look at it that way, but
I would not as a coach look at it that way at all. But I understand
I also haven't
been around here much, so I know the previous thing through Riley and Coach Frost, and I was just a part of it for, like I said, a couple months. But so I understand a little bit of that. But I have a hard time when you say we just got to clinch it. When it's just trying to get six wins with a schedule that was very favorable.
It'd be nice if they, I get where Jake's
The schedule was favorable last year for Nebraska, and they went 5-7. 2 years in a row, they had a favorable schedule. They blew it last. You cannot blow it 2 years in a row.
7-5. Why did I only say 7-5? Just because of all, I mean, you have a freshman quarterback. I knew they were limited up front and at really running back. I don't know why I was so, I mean, I was a little light on the prediction, but I think they're going to finish 7-5 is what I think. That's what my guess is. They'll go 2-2. Mm-hmm. The road games will be tough. USC is not, I get it. Now USC is not, they're not playing great. They did put 42 on Rutgers and they got skill. Bill, they got skill.
They have a couple of receivers. I saw a little bit of that Rutgers game. I didn't get until late at night.
Hey guys, Jake Sorensen from Early Break here to tell you about Cigars International. I've always loved kicking back with a great cigar, especially as the weather cools down. It's the perfect time to relax with friends, maybe watch the game, or just enjoy a little fall evening outside on the deck. And when it comes to finding the best cigars, Cigars International has become my go-to. They have everything, whether I'm looking for a classic favorite or trying something new. Cigars International never disappoints. They're the go-to retailer for all things cigars, with the biggest selection of premium handmade cigars available anywhere. Cigars International offers unbeatable deals and discounts, making it easy to stock up on all your favorites or try something new without breaking the bank. With fast shipping and their 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can shop with confidence knowing that Cigars International stands behind every single order. Whether you're new to cigars or a seasoned pro, Cigars International makes it easy to find the right cigar with helpful guides, staff reviews, and expert advice. But it's not just about cigars. Cigars International also offers a wide range of accessories, humidors, and more to elevate your smoking experience. Visit CigarsInternational.com today and explore their incredible selection of premium cigars and unbeatable deals. For our listeners only, they're giving you 20% off your order of $50 or more, plus free shipping when you use code EARLYBREAK at checkout. That's CIGARSINTERNATIONAL.com. Use promo code EARLYBREAK, all one word, at checkout, EARLYBREAK, for 20% off your purchase of $50 or more and free shipping. Whether you're looking for the perfect fall cigar or just want something new, Cigars International has you covered.
And they're skilled.
They do have some players.
Woody Marks is a good running back, and they have, obviously, they have good guys on the perimeter. Always going to have good guys on the perimeter, right?
Well, it's just shocking. Like I said, they had Penn State twice at 4th and 10, let them out of it. Then they drove down. They just hit the one pass to a wide open guy. They're going to kick a field goal and win the game.
Right.
Then everything's different. Their whole season is different.
Right.
So and they're still Michigan dangerous. Make a tackle.
Yeah.
And they win the game.
They're dangerous. Let's put it that way.
It all depends. The UCLA game, you'll have a great feel within 8 minutes into the game, how they show up. UCLA will show up, and it's going to be a dogfight, or they're not going to show up at all. It could easily be a Indiana-Nebraska reverse.
If Nebraska brings the defense and special teams, frankly, that they did against Ohio State, they should love their chances.
Yes.
I mean, but you don't. How do you trust them because of what happened in Indiana? Yeah. Indiana is what that affects is trust. If you say, well, if they play like they did against Ohio State, they'll be great. Yeah, they would be. But if they play like they did against Indiana, they won't be. So I don't know what team you're going to get. That's the unfortunate part of Indiana. What happened? I mean, what?
How do you explain that? That game makes no sense at all. Indiana's a very good team, but they're not that good, I wouldn't think. 56-7 over Nebraska, who just pushed Ohio State to the brink the horseshoe.
You can bottle up Juckins and Henderson, but you couldn't bottle up Justice Ellison and their back and their other guy, Tyson, whatever his name is. I don't know. I don't understand that.
Yeah,
Indiana ran on Nebraska.
Yeah, it's really hard to follow. It really is. It's really hard to
understand. But you give them credit. Give them credit for what they did against Ohio State.
Absolutely.
And by the way, John Hole's a big part of this conversation.
John Hole was, again, what a surprise. What a revelation he was. 1 for 5 he entered coming in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because if he just misses one of them, it's not near as interesting. If he just misses one of them.
He made all three.
And that they helped out by missing theirs.
Yes,
like that. I didn't see it. I didn't see it. But they said it was like they missed it by like 20 yards.
Bill, he pushed it way right.
Yeah, it was 20 yards. That's about.
He said it was one of those. Somebody goes, where do you see the field goal?
It was a 42-yard kick. I don't think the wind was swirling at all. He just pushed it.
It wasn't real windy. I don't know what he was.
John Hole made a 39-yard kick, 54-yard kick, and 47.
And he hammered Bill. He
down the middle. Down the middle.
54-yarder. That's good from 60. I mean, he hammered it.
These kicks were all right down the middle, too. It wasn't like it hit the crossbar, it snuck in. They were right down the middle for John Hole, all three.
And that helps because they're gonna have to win close against Wisconsin for sure. They're gonna have to win close against USC. They'll have to win close against Iowa. I don't think they're beating those teams' doors off.
Yep.
Nebraska doesn't have the offense.
You just never know because you don't
know. They don't have the offense.
You don't know who's going to show up on the other side. You just don't know. Will Wisconsin be? Where are they going to be? Because they, I don't know who they have next. The Wisconsin schedule is just brutal. They're going to show up. I think they're like 5-3 right now. Is that what they are? 5-3?
5-3. Yes.
And then they have it's just a brutal schedule.
Wisconsin coming up, their schedule is, they head to Iowa this weekend.
Yep. Big game,
rivalry. 6:30 kick.
It's a great game to watch.
Iowa's a 3.5-point favorite. Then they host Oregon, then they head to Nebraska, and then they host Minnesota to close.
So they're tough.
Two rivalry games and two tough games.
What were they again? Iowa.
They're at Iowa. They host Oregon after a bye week.
Okay, Nebraska.
And they're at Nebraska, then they host Minnesota to close the season.
Yeah. Two rivalry games, two tough games.
Those are really tough games. Yeah. And there's a chance right there Wisconsin doesn't win one. Right. They could lose all four. Could be 2-2. Could be like that.
I mean, the records, you got three teams that are playing that are 5-3 and one that's 8-0.
See, Nebraska's defense, if it plays the way it did against Ohio State, can shut down Wisconsin. You watch Wisconsin. They're fine offensively. They're not great. Yeah. They're not great offensively. I'd say
Penn State's got, they really got some dudes on
up front on defense.
I mean, so, they got some guys. They got some guys. Oh, it looks like, it's like a wow.
So here's the question. If Ohio State can't run on Nebraska, how are they running on Penn State?
With an extra injury, because that other injury didn't come in until
good point.
Until late. Way late in the game.
O-line injuries.
Yeah. Last 3 minutes.
Last 3 minutes of the game. So now they got to play now with another lineman down that they had practiced with
week. How are they going to run the ball at Penn State?
Yeah, don't see it.
I don't either.
It was stunning.
Can Howard beat them then? Can Will Howard?
Would it shock you if Ohio State beat Penn
State? No, it wouldn't shock me. But
it's interesting.
I don't know that I'd pick Ohio State right now, though.
Probably wouldn't.
I probably wouldn't. Not the way what I saw this week.
I thought it was pretty stunning to see a team like Ohio State. Their backup left tackle got smoked all game. Nebraska has their third left tackle. We know that,
Gunner,
right?
Hung in there well.
Corcoran, Prochazka out. Gatula's played the last several games. That's your third string.
Gunner hangs in there really well.
Second string left tackle at Ohio State was getting his butt kicked every single play, it looked like out there.
Gunner.
Jamari Butler was giving him a nightmare.
Gatula hangs in there. They played him, I think, 40 snaps and Mazuka 16 at left tackle. But Gatula hangs in there.
He did.
Yeah, he does.
Absolutely. Yeah. He's done a great job. Yeah. Like you said, now they have another changeup. Mm. I mean, that's going to be nerve-wracking because if two things, probably can't run the ball against Penn State, not consistently.
Probably
they could,
not.
They could hit a run or two, but not consistently run the ball. And then they have their pass rush is really good, Penn State's is. They got dudes up front. And now they're down another old lineman. So they're
licking the
right
chops.
Right now, the panic in Columbus is real.
Oh yeah, Jake.
Because if they lose that game, and all of a sudden it's getting two losses, it's going to be really hard for them. You know, all of a sudden with a group that is expected, they've been told they had the best roster Urban Meyer came into the came out.
I don't
came
know
out.
What he's talking about.
Urban came out and said him.
And they I don't know what to, he's talking
said
about.
The best looking player. Now he said best looking, but I said it to you guys during the break. I said they Nebraska give him credit, but they can't rush the passer, and they can't rush the passer against. It wasn't like, well, you know, give Nebraska credit. Yes, they didn't rush the passer against Oregon. They had no pressures against Oregon.
They had no sacks and two TFLs against Oregon.
Yeah, they couldn't do anything.
No.
So now, before the big thing was kind of like in the Big Ten was like, what? They're going to play again. Ohio State will beat them in the championship game. Well, if Penn State beats them, they're not getting the championship game. Mm. They're done.
There's a ton of pressure on Day right now.
Yeah, and he looks like it.
Yeah, and it's unhealthy. We talked about maybe off air. It's unhealthy in Columbus.
Yeah,
they were booing.
Every win, every game.
Yeah,
that's it. If you don't win every game,
it's just a.
Yeah. Except how loud were the boos in Columbus?
Pretty loud at the end. Right. When they threw the short pass to Trayvon Henderson that got blown up.
Yes. Yeah.
Loud boos. Loud boos.
It was a bad play call.
It was.
It was a bad, bad play call.
It was.
It was. What was that? And they're matched up in man coverage, so they're. It's not like, well, it's zone. We have a chance to get a block on everybody. No, that wasn't what was going on.
Nebraska defense had some guys that really played well.
They did.
Jamari Butler played.
Oh
excellent.
My! Jake,
he was
100.
An absolute menace the entire game.
Jamari must have gotten healthy. Now he's playing like the Butler we thought. Singleton had a game. I've never seen DeSean Singleton play that well.
Jamari Butler had 3 tackles for loss.
Yeah,
for 13 yards.
Singleton, how many tackles did he have? 10.
10 tackles.
Yeah, Singleton was huge. Those two guys stand out the most. God dang it. But they're getting performances from guys like McGahee.
Yep.
A freshman. He only played 9 snaps, but had a key sack. And MJ Sherman played a great game. MJ Sherman had a great game.
He had a sack. Yeah. 2 sacks for Nebraska. Jamari Butler and MJ Sherman in this bowl.
When you saw the matchup, like I said, again, Nebraska, the reason Ohio State didn't play well is because Nebraska did.
That, I know
that's the number one reason why it happened. Mm-hmm. Even though, like I said, a little asleep at the wheel, couldn't answer it, and also they're not Georgia.
They're not. So Bill, it gets back to what was Urban Meyer and Jim Tressel saying? Why were they saying that before the season?
Well, probably just like I said. Well, when they walk around the building and come out the tunnel, you see it. Yeah. I mean, you do. What you don't see right now is dominant D-line play.
Nope.
From Ohio State. You don't see dominant D-line play. We're just like...
You don't.
He's like, oh, God, what are we doing?
Or offensive line play.
Yeah, or offensive line.
Nebraska ran the ball respectably against... And they don't run the ball well at all against anybody.
They kept hammering away.
They did. Dowdell had some big runs.
See, Urban Meyer, to refresh everybody, said that's the best roster he's ever seen at Ohio State. Urban Meyer won the national title in 2014.
Yes.
He said that's the best... Come on. What are you talking... I don't see it, Bill. I don't see it. They're fine. I'm not taking away what Nebraska did at all, but they're not. I just go back to the fact they only play 16 guys on offense. They don't bring guys off the bench that you're like, wow. Carnell Tate is good. He doesn't blow your doors off, and he's their third receiver. The first two guys kind of do. Jeremiah Smith certainly does. Amika Egbu, Buka, he kind of does, but he's more intermediate guy, right? Isn't he?
When you watch them compared to Oregon, it's not even close.
Thank you.
Not even close. Oregon's speed.
Tez Johnson.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Tez Johnson.
If they played again, Oregon would beat him again.
I think so, too.
Oh, yeah. The only thing that would play to their advantage would be that Oregon's got to fly to Indianapolis to play the game. And Ohio State can basically drive to the game.
Oh, right.
You know, or be there in about a 30-minute flight. That would be the one thing that would make it a little bit more difficult.
Ohio State, Penn State. It will be fascinating.
Right. Yeah.
Before we get to break, the 3 words you don't want to hear in IT are what, Bill?
I've been hacked.
Nope, don't want to hear those. You won't hear that with Nebraska's preferred tech partner, Applied Connective Technologies. They're in all 93 counties of the state. One team, all your tech solutions, managing IT and cybersecurity, phone systems, physical security, infrastructure, audio, video, and more. Okay. Check out a free consultation at appliedconnective.com or call 866-358-0109.
Hacking is real. I've been hacked. It's real. Happens to everybody all the time. It's kind of funny when someone says on Facebook, I've been hacked. Like, whatever. What'd they hack you with? You know, I don't get what's going on here. But that doesn't really bother you too much. Yeah. Start. Yeah. Just all of a sudden, just go check out your banking account or find out if someone's taking a house loan out in your name. Whoops. And see what you think right then. That doesn't happen.
Then what happens? Who do you call?
You call Applied Connective Technologies.
I'm going to call them now. Be ahead of the time. That's the deal with that. Like, hey, what do we got to do now? Well, you got to have open heart surgery. Ever think about not eating bacon every meal for about the last 60 years? Maybe that. Be ahead of the game. Get ahead of the game. Take care of yourself.
When we come back, let's hear
bacon from, and Applied Connect.
Let's hear from Mike Elko. And also, hey, Colorado's going bowling. We'll discuss that next.
Oh, crime.
On the ticket.
Crime.